We are working on our way through the book of Daniel, and if you'll turn with me this morning to Daniel chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful again, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. There was a fellow by the name of George Santayana who is credited with a saying that is often heard in various forms, but it says something like, "Those who do not learn from the past are condemned to repeat it." Why is it that sinful men never seem to learn? The answer is in the question. Because they're sinful men. Belshazzar is now king of Babylon. That was pretty quick. Why, just the last chapter, Nebuchadnezzar was the king. But now, Belshazzar is the king. He is not the son of Nebuchadnezzar, but the grandson. The reference to fathers is similar as to, like we would say that Luther and Calvin are the fathers of the Reformation. That is the reference there. In actual genealogy, chronology, whatever you want, Nebuchadnezzar is the grandfather of Belshazzar. We would assume that Belshazzar would have learned something from the past. We can assume that he would have some familiarity with his own family history. I mean, his grandfather was humiliated publicly for 7 years. That's kind of like something that you don't just pass over. If that's in your family history, you might want to shy away from it, but you can't gloss it over. It's like a big billboard in the middle of nowhere. There it is. So you would think that Belshazzar would know something about his family history, and perhaps he would know why his grandfather was humiliated so. But because he was a man, a man with a sin nature, and part of that sin nature was a very proud heart. History was not going to affect him. We're told in the very first verse of this chapter that Belshazzar threw a party. It was a big party. He invited 1,000 of his nobles to come and have dinner with him at his table. That's got to have been some table. You're going to have 1,000 people sitting around. That's a lot. He draws them in, and he's different, you see, than his grandfather, in that Nebuchadnezzar did kingly things. Nebuchadnezzar went out and took cities. That's what kings do. They're not content to sit at home. They want to grow their kingdom. So they go out and they take other cities. Nebuchadnezzar made statues and built monuments, actually being one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. Nebuchadnezzar did kingly things. All Belshazzar could do was throw a party. There was a difference. So if he was going to throw a party, he wanted to make the most of it. I mean, come on. If you're going to have 1,000 people come to your party, you're not even going to be able to see them all. Doesn't matter, though, if you're the king. It's important that they see you. And that's kind of where he was at. He was king of Babylon for 2 reasons. One was genealogy. It just fell to him to be king. And the second was the providence of God. Because God, as we've seen earlier in this book, raises kings and brings them down. He raises people to power for his purpose at a certain time, and then when their work is done, he takes them down. We are not doomed forever in this country to have the commander-in-chief that we have. At some point, God will bring him down. Hopefully not to raise up someone worse, but that's God's business. Belshazzar is having this party, and he's drinking lots of wine. And he's not caring what anybody thinks. He's the king. Why should he care what anybody thinks? It's important, you know, only that they acknowledge that he's king. The thing is, he especially doesn't care what God thinks. It doesn't matter to him. Because in his mind, he is God. You know? And so everybody has to kowtow to Belshazzar. Everybody has to care about what Belshazzar thinks, not vice versa. While this party is going on, while the events are occurring, he remembers something. That during one of his grandfather's expeditions, when he took Jerusalem, he took a lot of nice stuff out of the temple there. You remember, God had the people, furnish the temple with all kinds of gold and silver utensils and things. I mean, it was, he did a good job on that. And so if somebody was coming in to pillage the place, they're looking at that gold saying, hey, this is all right, we want this for our storehouse. Belshazzar happens to remember that his grandfather got all this stuff, and while they're in the middle of his party, he sends his servants, he says, go get that stuff. Go bring those gold goblets in here, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to drink our wine from the gold that used to sit in the temple of the Most High God. So they bring them in. And while this party is going on, you know, I mean, Belshazzar, he's already thinking highly of himself. Why wouldn't this impress his guests? You know, I mean, you can come to my house and drink from Tupperware, or you can come to my house and drink from a nice gold goblet. which would you prefer? Well, yeah, you know? And if you're coming to the house and you get a drink from the gold goblet, you're going to think I'm really something special, right? If I just hand you a Tupperware glass, you're going to think I'm just a regular, average, ordinary Joe. But, you know, gold, well, you know, if you're a king passing out gold, you know, these are not gold throwaway cups. These are the real deal. Somebody has to wash them later. He's there. Everybody was going to drink from these goblets. And it's important to remember that while they're doing that, it doesn't you know, lay that out for you in the story, but these were designed for the worship of Almighty God. And now they're being used to insult Almighty God. There's toast after toast going on to Babylon's idols using these utensils. And we must remember that God will not be mocked. In verse 5, while all the revelry is going on, God has a point to make. It says, in the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. Would probably get your attention. All of a sudden, you're just sitting there having a great old time. Now, granted, some people would attribute that to drinking much wine. But this was a reality. This was something that was not just somebody's hallucination. This was not just something that they were seeing. The hand of a man. We understand that God does not have body parts, per se. But he does use what he needs to use at a certain time to convey a message. And if you're sitting there in the midst of this thing, and all of a sudden, no body, just a hand, shows up and starts writing on the wall, it's going to get your attention. This event shakes the king. Belshazzar is the king. He should be afraid of nothing. And yet, in the midst of this thing, he sees this hand appear and start writing, into the plaster of the wall. And he is overwhelmed with great fear. It says his countenance changes. All the color runs from his face. He becomes pale. It says his knees knocked together. He was in great fear. I mean, his knees were knocking together. And the scriptures tell us that the joints of his hips were loosened. Friends, he lost control of his bladder. That's what happened. The king was scared to where he could not control himself. That's pretty frightening. Pretty frightened. I don't know if any of you have ever been that frightened before. I never have. But I know it happens that people get scared to the point of losing control of themselves. That was Belshazzar's place. It's important to remember that none of us can stand before Almighty God and not have some kind of an effect. I hear people talk and they boast that at some point when they go to the great beyond, they're just going to go in and they're going to tell God how it is. Not going to happen. When we read the scriptures and we see people who come in contact with God in any manifestation, be it a Christophany, or in the New Testament, people fall down. They don't stand there and get in his face. This is the same thing. We must understand. We should never allow our pride to get us to the point to think, you know, that God is just another guy. That God is just somebody that we can come into his presence and just be how we want to be. He will have an effect on us. How often is it that people cry out for help? You know, there are exceptions. There's always exceptions. But most people will try to solve their problem on their own. Something rises up there, they'll find a way. We're usually pushed to the end before we cry out. Certainly not true of everybody, but that's kind of the way people function. It's not necessarily right either, but that's the way it is. Belshazzar is scared to death. He's not above crying out. And who does he cry for? He cries to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. He cries out for his own pagan counselors. And why wouldn't he? That would be natural for him. Who does the world cry out to for help but the world? It's what happens. Worldly people do not cry out to God. Worldly people don't want anything to do with God. And so Belshazzar, in his moment of terror, cries out, "Hey, send me the counselors. Send me my guys. Send me the guys that are on my payroll, on my staff, that are supposed to tell me what's going on. They're supposed to know this stuff. Bring them in here." And here's an interesting thing. These gentlemen are servants of the king. If the king gives a command, they have to answer it. They have to do what the king commands. And yet the king offers a reward. You come in here, tell me what it is I want to know, and you'll be clothed with purple. That's royal colors. Have a chain of gold around your neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. All you have to do, read the writing, give the interpretation, you're promoted to Speaker of the House. Third in line, the third most powerful in the kingdom. But you know, the same thing happened with Belshazzar in this situation as what happened with his grandfather. The people that were on the payroll to do this particular job couldn't get it done. For Nebuchadnezzar, they couldn't do anything. For Belshazzar, they couldn't do anything. And so he sits there and he's greatly troubled. It says his countenance was changed. And his lords were astonished. They were perplexed. That when you see the leader beside himself, the leader who doesn't know what's going on, it doesn't give you too much confidence. And so these guys are sitting around the table and they just, I don't know what's going on here. The message was there. They couldn't tell him what it was. And then it says in verse 10, the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. This was not Belshazzar's wife. His wives, his concubines, were all sitting there at the party. They were all there with him. The queen was the queen mother. Now, possibly it was his mother, but the likelihood is this queen was his grandmother. She is someone who was very familiar with the experiences of Nebuchadnezzar. And she knew about Daniel. Now, look, by and large, nobody likes to be corrected. If someone gives us correction, if someone gives us a rebuke, our feelings get hurt. And we should never get our feelings hurt, right? Isn't that the story of the day? Isn't that the message of our society? We should always be happy all the time. Our feelings should never be hurt. Well, especially if you're the king. I mean, it's really bad if you're the king and your feelings get hurt, because bad things can happen. But you see, this was Grandma. Grandma was gently giving him what he should already have known. Daniel was the chief of the counselors appointed there by Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think Belshazzar should have known who was the head of the department? I'm thinking. The queen says, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And your grandfather made him the chief counselor. Belshazzar had put his trust, his complete trust. He was a pagan. He put his complete trust in false gods. And Babylon had a few. And his counselors served them as well. They worshiped the idols of Babylon. And so his first choice in a desperate time was to go to somebody who agreed with him. Somebody who he perceived to be on his side. Somebody who was still just as dead wrong as he was. But he had little comfort there. Grandma reminded him about Daniel and made it clear to him that Daniel is the one who knew the God of gods. You know what? A lot of times, if we get down to the nitty-gritty, Christian people are practical idolaters. We've put our trust in a secure job, in a faithful spouse. We believe, we trust that we'll have never-ending good health. At the same time, we declare that our faith is in Christ alone. We are double-minded in ways. We say that our faith is in Christ alone, but when something goes wrong in one of those other areas, we go to pieces. Or do we go to Jesus? When God took Moses up to Sinai and he gave him the tablets, what was the very first commandment? You shall have no other gods. Sometimes we just trip over that one. Sometimes we say, yeah, I know that commandment. I know what it's about. And I don't go into a building on a certain day of the week and worship anything except Almighty God. Except all week long, I'm really moved by these other things. A simple thing is just jumping into the car, turning the key, and nothing happens. Won't make us go to pieces. What are we going to do now? It's what you got AAA for. The commandments were given by God to his children. God didn't give the commandments to the pagans. God didn't say, hey, you guys sitting over there in Canaan, why don't you come on over? I got a special tablet for you too. God gave this to his people. His people are supposed to do something with it. And not just make a picture of it and put it up somewhere and say, doesn't that make us look pious? God, by his hand, he leads us where he wills. He takes us through these certain times. He allows us, or he ordains us to go through the different trials of life. He ordains us to go through times where we might be frightened for His will, for His glory, and our benefit. His scriptures do tell us that for those who love God, all things are for our good. You see, if Belshazzar, in the midst of this big party, had really been a follower of God, well, one thing, all the stuff that happened wouldn't have happened, the revelry and whatnot. But it would have been for his good. As it is, this event, as we will see, is for Daniel's good. See that coming up in a week. I would pray that our desire would be to have the testimony that the queen bore of Daniel. That people would be able to look at us and say, you know what? They have light. And they have understanding. And they have wisdom. And we're not going to get that because it's going to just fall out of the air. We're going to do that because we submit ourselves to a holy God and we study His Word. And we take it in. That's the only way we're going to gain light and understanding and wisdom. And that will happen because within us dwells the Spirit of the Holy God. Pray that that would be our desire. And God will honor that prayer. Let's pray.